here. You are a gift from God. You are valuable, you are important, and there's a reason why you are here. Give the Lord a hand of applause. You are here because God put you here. And He has important work for you to do. But God's purposes will not always be clear to you. Sometimes you may wander aimlessly in a wilderness of your own making. And sometimes you may struggle mightily against God in a vain effort to find success and happiness through your own means, not His. Everybody here is guilty of that. Even though we want God's way in our life, sometimes we think we're smart enough to create our own way. Especially if it's a way that we don't really feel like going. Because there's been some times that God has spoke to me and said, here's what I want you to do. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that, God. Really struggled when He called me to preach. He said, I want you in God's pulpit. I want you to preach. I said, no, I don't want that. He said, well, I do. I said, well, I don't. And it was really about that kind of a conversation. So, 2 weeks later, y'all all know this. I've told you a 100 times. It seems to be 30 years I've been here. He put me in a hospital. Seems like every time God needs to get my attention, He puts me in a hospital. I don't know what I did this last time, but He got my attention in. And I really, truly, is when I, on my back, really surrendered to preach God's Word. And as soon as I made that decision and took out my faith to see what it all would entail, going back to school, quitting a good job, going to school, it was some major, major decisions in my life. But from that moment on, I never looked back once I made the decision. And now, 38 years in the pulpit, there's never been a moment that God ever left me alone. Good Lord, amen. Listen to what the writer says. Whenever we struggle against God's plans, we suffer. Anytime you go against the will of God, you're going to pay a price. You're going to. He had to put me in a hospital. Give me kidney stones. Back then, you know, it was a long time ago, they had to cut me open to go in and get those kidney stones. Because He had to get my attention. See, when you don't mind God, He's going to get your attention. Now let me tell you something. It's sort of like when I didn't mind my parents. My father had to get my attention. And back in that day, they got your attention a little different than they do today. And I've told you all this many times. Back when I was younger is when they first started coming out with this term, time out. I said, hey, are you going to put me in time out? He said, I don't know what timeout is. He said, I was raised not timeout, knockout. He said, I'm going to knock you out, but I don't know about you. You may be in timeout when I get done with it. You know, there was no such thing when I was growing up. I mean, he had to get my attention. Sometimes it required whipping. As I got older, it required other things. Man, when I was 15 years old, I was 6'1", weighed 230 pounds. You know, my dad whipped me. You think I felt that? My Lord, no. I said, come on, whip me, old man. I don't care. But then, I was driving. Yeah, he didn't have to get my attention about whipping me no more. We passed that stage. He said, give me the keys. No, I wanted a whipping. No. You're too old to whip, so I was going to look a little silly for me to whip you. Just give me the keys to the car. Because, see, I paid for the car. I paid for the insurance. You're allowed to live here. I furnished the food. I furnished the insurance. I work 60 hours a week. I work overtime. The more I talk, the closer I'm getting to you, see? Have you ever heard that speech before from a parent? So give me the keys. And I mean, Monica wouldn't go out with me unless I had a car. No. We didn't have to have a car. I mean, that takes away everything. And then here was the real kicker. No, well, I had to, but when I was 17 years of age, he made me ride a school bus when I was driving for an entire year. To ride that school bus with them 7, 8 year olds, and I'm 17 years of age. Because to walk to school would mean I would have had to walk about 2 blocks. Uphill both ways. Time was hard back in Jim Crow. You remember walking 2 blocks to school uphill both ways, don't you? Yeah. Made me ride that school bus. But it got what? It got my attention. Because he had to get it. Because I smarted off. I used the wrong language at the dinner table. I didn't really know what the word meant, but I used it. You didn't do that. You didn't do that. So whatever it takes to get our attention, that's what God's going to do, because he has a purpose for every one of us. And when we refuse to do his purpose, he's going to get your attention. Now let me tell you something. When he does, it's going to hurt. You know why it hurts? Because that's how you remember it. Any time that I've been in pain in my life, I remember it. Now, if it didn't cause me any pain, I don't remember it. But just like all that time that they whipped me, took my keys away, I remember that just like it was yesterday. And sometimes I can't remember my name, but it caused me pain at the time. That's why. It was a lesson to be taught. I never used that language no more at the table. I never backed on it again. Because I had a pretty girl that I needed to take out. And I had to have a car to do that. Why wouldn't you go out with me if I didn't have a car?
Because somebody else did.
Yeah, but believe me, I knew them other fellas. She got the winner, baby. I tell you that right now. That's right. Oh, thank you, Monica. I feel so good about myself.
No, he knows where his
bread's buttered. Yeah. All right, let's get back to the book. Here we go. When we align ourselves with God's purposes, we avail ourselves to his power and his peace. If you want peace in your life, surely goodness, there's not a person in here that doesn't want peace. If you want peace in your life, then do God's will. But how can we know precisely what God's intentions are? The answer, of course, is that even the most well-intentioned believers face periods of uncertainty and doubt about the direction of their lives. So too we. When you arrive at one of life's most important crossroads, you come to crossroads in life at every age level if you're willing to die. You may come across a crossroad today. You make the right turn, it's wonderful. You make the wrong turn, and it's painful. Believe me, you have these choices in life all the time. When you arrive at one of life's crossroads, That is precisely the moment when you should turn your thoughts and prayers toward God. When you do, he will make himself known to you in a time and manner of his choosing. Guy closes with 3 points. Now look at this. Crossroads of life. Which way am I going? Satan's going to say, why don't you go this way? God may say, no, you need to go this way. But see, neither one of them is going to force you to go that direction. It's going to be your choice. Satan's on one side cheering for his way. God's on the other side cheering for his way. And it's up to you. You make the choice. What choice are you going to make? How do you make these choices? If Satan's good at saying, "My road is really nice over here," he's good at disguising it. Okay? How do we make those choices? Look at these points. God has a plan for your life. If you believe that your life has no meaning, you are very, very wrong. If you're watching me by the internet, I don't know what's going on in your life. But I promise you, I serve a God that loves you no matter what you've done. He will forgive you no matter what you've done. He will give you amazing grace today if you will ask for it. But he will not force himself on you. His love is there. His peace is there. His forgiveness is there. But it's your choice. You have a meaning in life if you will reach out to Jesus. God isn't finished with you. God will never be finished with me until I take my last breath. Even when I was in the hospital this last time and didn't know where I was at for 3 or 4 days, he knew he was going to pull me out of that. He knew exactly what he was going to do with me. He knew he was going to put me back in the pulpit. And it wasn't but a few weeks after that that I got the phone call from the kidney transplant people that I've been waiting on for 4 years. He knew what was coming ahead of me. He wasn't going to let me die. Now, I didn't know that. Monica didn't know that. But every day we took it by faith. When I finally come awake and I looked at her and I knew who she was for the first time in 3 days and called her by name, I knew then I had a wonderful God. Because I looked up and raised my eyes and I said, "Monica." And I hadn't known Monica in 3 days. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Number two, if you seek God's plan sincerely and prayerfully, you will find it. God's plan for you may not be obvious, but neither is it indefinite, which means you can find an answer if you seek out God. If you don't know the answer, he will give you the answer in his time. Don't ever stop asking. With prayer and patience, you can determine with a surprising degree of clarity the path that God intends for you to take. Prayer and patience. When you're hurting, you don't want to hear anything about patience. Whether you're hurting physically, spiritually, mentally, whatever it may be, you don't want patience. You want it fixed now. Don't you? You want it fixed now. But sometimes, folks, we have to understand we learn through life's painful moments. The more painful it is, God does intervene before faithful you should be. Because he brought you out of it. Set you back up. But let me tell you something. When you're in pain, and you know you're in pain, when you finally are not out of pain, don't blame God for your pain. Be thankful the pain is gone. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Last point. When you discover God's purposes for your life, you will experience abundance, peace, joy, and power. God's power. And that's the only kind of power that really matters. You will experience. You will know it. Abundance. And this doesn't mean you're going to be rich. We're not talking about abundance of wealth, big homes, big everything, all the money you spend. We're not talking about that. Abundance means I know Jesus. Jesus knows me. He's with me every moment of my life. And no matter what I go through in this world, he is building me a home in glory land. And one day, I'm going to that home. Some translations call it a mansion. The reason they call it a mansion, if God built it, it's a mansion. Okay? If he built it, it's a mansion. It doesn't make any difference how broke I am. If I know Jesus Christ, I'm going to walk on the streets of gold one day. get the point? Because we're not all promised everything in this world. All we're promised is that He'll be with us. He'll give us what we need. Love us. Forgive us. Be with us when we've lost our best friend. But understand, folks, you may not get everything that you really want, but you'll get everything that you ever need in life. As long as you're faithful. I believe that. There's never been a day that I've gone hungry. There's never been a day that I've gone not needing what I wanted. What? Oh, there's been plenty of days I wanted something and didn't get it. But my needs have always been. You know what you are, what Grenard were you? Is when I goof over words like that, you still understand me? That ought to work. See, Brian looked at me and he said, I know exactly what he's saying. Brian didn't know what I was saying. I didn't know what I was saying. But somehow or another, God has a way of coming back and saying, well, let's go back over, let's rerun that again. Again, it's not about what you want, it's about what you need. One of these days, we'll have all we ever wanted in life. That day's not here yet. But that day's promised to His people who walk by faith, live by faith, and do the best they can what circumstances have been given. Don't complain. Live out the best they can. Do with what you got and be thankful for it. And you'll be surprised the street you walk on in these days. Give the Lord a hand. Stand with me for prayer. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, Your presence is in this place. Your grace is in this place. Father, how much we love You today. Father, for someone here today without purpose of life, may they truly understand how much You love them and that You want to give them a purpose. You've called them. You've had a purpose for them from the moment that they were born. May they open their heart to You today to find out what that is. Father, be with our church and our people. If there be one here today that's lost and has never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, Father, it is my prayer that today they will accept You as Lord and Savior. Satan keeps telling us we got the rest of our lives, but there's no one here, no one here promised tomorrow. This is the day of salvation. This is the moment of truth. If you need a quiet time at this altar, we're going to invite you to come. Something you need for me to pray with you about, I would welcome that with open arms. Just come and say, Brother Roger, would you pray with me about this? Whatever God leads you to do, we pray that You'll respond. Father, bless these moments. We thank You for this opportunity to come into fellowship, to listen to Your word, and to respond to it. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. As every head bowed and every eye is open, as Larry begins to play, would you come in the name of Jesus? Thank you.
Thank you.